From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the first of two messages on the theme of Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ, part of this series of studies of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. In this message, we're seeing the testimony of Old Testament believers who endured torture and martyrdom for the sake of their faith in the Lord. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Pruning for Fruit Bearing. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is a precious promise to one who lives for fruitfulness. At first, it seems to wear a sharp aspect. Must the fruitful bough be pruned? Must the knife cut even the best and most useful? No doubt it is so, for very much of our Lord's purging work is done by means of afflictions of one kind or another. It is not the evil, but the good who have the promise of tribulation in this life. But then, the end makes more than full amends for the painful nature of the means. If we may bring forth more fruit for our Lord, we will not mind the pruning and the loss of leafage. Still, purging is sometimes wrought by the Word apart from trial, and this takes away whatever appeared rough in the flavor of the promise. We shall by the Word be made more gracious and more useful. The Lord, who has made us, in a measure, fruit-bearing, will operate upon us till we reach a far higher degree of fertility. Is not this a great joy? Truly, there is more comfort in a promise of fruitfulness than if we had been warranted riches or health or honor. Lord Jesus, speedily fulfill thy gracious word to me, and cause me to abound in fruit to thy praise.
And pray.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns has begun dealing with the passage beginning in verse 35, which is a transition into unnamed saints, many of whom paid with their lives for their faithfulness to God. According to the passage, these heroes of faith chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain what the writer calls a better resurrection. As Dr. Cairns has explained, there are several possible interpretations for that expression as it was understood by those Old Testament martyrs. Certainly, those who died had an eye to eternal life. Also, they considered death for Christ to be infinitely better than what the world could offer. A third view is that those martyrs knew that all people would be raised, some to life eternal and some to everlasting punishment. In faith, they chose the former. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue this first of two messages on the theme, Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ.
Oh, that you would learn today that it would be better, if need be, to suffer torture on the wheel and go to heaven at the end of it. Not that you merit heaven by your torture, but it would be better to suffer and go to heaven than tramp and dance through the pleasure-mad throng of the world to end up in a lost eternity. Come while the Savior in mercy is pleading. Come while the gospel door is open. Make sure that your choice by faith is the same choice as these people who would not accept what the world called life, but rather took death because they had a grasp of life eternal. John Owen, the great Puritan divine, came to this passage of Scripture and he said, undoubtedly, the reference is to the events of the 6th and 7th chapters of the 2nd book of Maccabees. Now we're talking, and I'm deliberately making reference to this passage between the Testaments, because very often we think of that as a period when faith was at an all-time low. And in many ways, there's a lot of truth in that. But what was upholding these people? If you turn to the very next chapter of the history of the Maccabees, you will find that there is constant reference to the resurrection. A young man in point of death looked at his tormentor. He looked at Antiochus and he said, "Thou like a fury takest us out of this present life, but the King of the world shall raise us up." The hope of a better resurrection. When his hands were cut off, his feet were cut off, and his tongue was cut out of his mouth, the last words that he said, "These I had from heaven, and for his laws I despised them, and from him I hope to receive them again." Another one said, "It's good being put to death by men to look for hope from God to be raised up again by him." That's faith. Others suffered on the tympany, stretched out to be broken and battered to death, all the time looking to that better resurrection. Verse 36 says, "But others," and the word is somewhat different here. A different class of sufferers from among these same believers. Others had, or literally received, trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. You'll notice the word cruel is in italics. It's not in the original. And yet, you know, I think that's one of the happiest translations of the Authorized Version. It grasps the meaning perfectly. They received trial by cruel mockery and by cruel scourgings. Those young men who spoke of the resurrection were seven sons of one mother. Because they also refused to partake in a heathen feast, they were brought to the death and they received cruel mockings and scourgings. First of all, they were given the opportunity to recant. But there's no recantation. Then their extremities were all, one by one, crudely cut off. But in the midst of their agony, and all the mocking, there was no recantation. And then their tongue was cut out, but because that tongue had been lacerating the old heathen king by its testimony to their God. They were mocked. They were scourged. They were murdered. Seven of them, one after another. When it came to the youngest of those boys, the king offered him everything just to produce a recantation. I'll not only give you freedom, I'll not only give you life, but I will exalt you, I will give you position, I will make you my friend, I will make you my counselor, I will give you anything. No, sir. You mock, you scourge, you kill, you torment, you do what you will. But my faith is in a living God. And in an impregnable word, my hope is in a certain resurrection. I'm not living for this world. I'm not living for this moment. I would rather suffer now and know that I'm right with God and I'm pleasing to Him than to take all that you can offer and lose out with God. We read that others had bonds and imprisonment. Time forbids that I go through the Old Testament references. You think of Joseph, cast into prison. You think of the prophet Micaiah, 1 Kings 22, dumped by Ahab into prison. You think of Hanani, another prophet, when the good King Asa got into a rage. He dumped God's prophet into prison. You think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet dropped down into a miry dungeon, sinking in the filth of that deep, dark, and damp prison. But through faith, they bore what to flesh was unbearable. Verse 37, they were stoned. There are 9 reported stonings in Scripture. Actually, I think only 2 of them come within the scope of this text. They're interesting ones. One was Naboth. You remember Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard, 1 Kings 21. Naboth wouldn't give it to him. Ahab turned his face to the wall. Petulant, spoiled brat that he was. But his wicked consort, Queen Jezebel, had the way. She set Naboth up for a false trial. She bought false witnesses. She had him accused of blasphemy. She had him convicted. And she had him stoned. All exactly according to the law of Moses. She had it all done. You know, the critics really, in the heyday of German rationalism, didn't like that passage. They said that Naboth was really just a stubborn old Jew who wouldn't give up and wouldn't do a business deal with this half-heathen king. Now, I'm sure he was a stubborn old Jew, just the same as you're a stubborn old Gentile. Well, nothing wrong with that. I'd rather have the right to be stubborn and say I'm not going to give up my vineyard to you just because you happen to covet it. But there was more to it than that. The literal force of the words in 1 Kings 21, when it tells us that Naboth didn't merely have a vineyard, but Naboth came to have a vineyard. The idea is he came by it as his inheritance. He came by it as his inheritance. And what proves that is that when he was murdered, all his sons were murdered as well. Just to make sure it didn't pass on to them. Now watch this carefully. Leviticus 25, 23 and 24 forbids that your inheritance be alienated forever. In other words, you couldn't transfer it to another tribe. or even to another family. It belonged there. That was the law. Naboth was standing on the law of God and the word of God, and he paid the supreme price for it. I say the critics didn't like that because, according to their stupid notions, Moses didn't write the law. The law didn't come until the time of Ezra or round about there, so it didn't come for hundreds of years after. So they were in a bit of a pickle. It was very difficult to see how Naboth knew about that law and stood over that law and died for that law, but wasn't invented until hundreds of years afterwards. Of course, the critics are wrong. Naboth died by faith. Then there was Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. If you were here at the service, the memorial service for the aborted children, you remember Brother Mark Allison preached on this great man, Jehoiada. And his son upbraided the very king that Jehoiada had saved from death and put on the throne. And when he upbraided him for sin, he had him stoned to death. By faith, Zechariah made a stand, bore a testimony, paid the price, were stoned. Of course, though, those are the only Old Testament references, and Hebrews 11 is really a reference to Old Testament saints. I don't think Paul could have written about stoning without thinking of Stephen. Though he's not the primary reference, he must have been in the apostle's mind. I think I can see Paul as he pens these words. The man's mind goes back to that day when he was a ringleader and he could see the stones crashing into the angelic features of one of the greatest men of God the world has ever seen, and one whose ministry — this is another subject that I touched on years ago in dealing with the book of the Acts — but one whose ministry, I believe, was the first of all the early apostles and their helpers to begin to teach the very distinctive truths that Paul was led to preach to the Gentile world. Paul could see that stoning. Yes, others were stoned. Paul himself was stoned. He knew what he was talking about. He was left for dead after having been stoned. Others were sawn asunder. There's a very strong Jewish tradition that that's how the prophet Isaiah died. That Manasseh, the wicked king of Judah, actually had him sawn asunder. Now we come to a strange word. Others were tempted. Now watch where this falls. It says, some were sawn asunder, then tempted, then slain with the sword. Now that has caused a lot of problems. People who think they know better than the Holy Ghost and can rewrite the text of Scripture and tell God what he ought to have written if he'd only had enough sense. A lot of these arrogant critics come here and they rewrite this section, because they say it doesn't make sense to talk about people being sawn asunder and then other people being put to death by the edge of the sword. And in the middle of them you put the anemic word, tempted. It doesn't make sense. How stupid men are. This word only sounds mild. The very point of it is this. That physical suffering can be terrible. Physical death can overwhelm the mind with fear. But equally, physical suffering and physical death in and of themselves very often are the easiest to overcome. But there's a temptation that is like putting a sword into the heart and into the mind that's far worse than anything physical.
You You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.